We have two cycles of readings for weekday masses. Perhaps you probably know this. But in Lent, the weekday readings are the same every year. So the church places a double emphasis on them. That does not likely surprise us when we hear of the famous parable about how many times we must forgive. So we hear this every year. These passages tell us first that praying well absolutely requires an awareness of our need for mercy. Second, it requires an awareness that we cannot possibly deserve what we are praying for. In the world, that makes no sense at all. But in the kingdom of God, that's the way it works. That is the law of mercy. Well, just before this gospel passage, Peter was given the authority to forgive sins. And that's why it's important that Peter be the one to ask the question, because he will be responsible for conveying to the church, right down to our day, this law of mercy. Peter has been with Jesus long enough to know that the conversation is about what it takes to enter the kingdom of heaven. I think you and I already likely know that everything in this life is really about preparing for the kingdom of heaven. Generally, we know about our dependence on the mercy of God, but we live in the world, and the world we live in keeps us thinking too small. Peter already knows that forgiveness is the key. He knows you have to forgive more than once. In fact, he uses the number 7. But it's not just 7 times, it's 77 times, or 7 times 70 times, depending on the translation. That's the difference between the 7 times 70 is important because that's 490, or 49 if it's 7 times 7. And so that leads up to the Jubilee year, the year of forgiveness, the year of mercy, the 50th year. 77 times 70 is the difference between God's forgiveness of us and ours of others. It is infinite. In fact, it is as impossible for us to forgive even once a wrong or offense that has been done to us. It's the same as if we were going back to the other parable about the camel from the illustration of Jesus fitting through the eye of a needle. The good news of Jesus Christ is in 4 stages, the good news of the mercy of God. The first is that the infinite and perfect God of love created us only for the purpose of receiving his blessed life in us. The servant was given basically an infinite blessing, like what God has given us. That's the first servant. The second point of the gospel message is always that the servant who received an almost infinite treasure has somehow lost it. What did he do with it? What could a servant possibly have done with the king's treasure? This tells you and I what we have lost by our participation in sin. The third part, the third phase in the good news, is that we as servants, God's servants, were given everything, then lost it, and we could not repay it. But through sincere repentance, we have access to the mercy of God through our Savior, who took on our nature to repay the debt that we could not. Nowhere in our earthly experience can we receive the measure of mercy that God is offering us. The hard part for us is not how we can come up with the payment, it's whether we will humble ourselves enough to ask. The fourth step in the good news is our willingness to live a life that mirrors to others what God has given to us. It is true, I think all of us experience at some point in our lives, that some injuries feel so deep that it is not in our power to feel or to forget an offense. And that is, of course, where grace comes in. To do what we cannot possibly do by even our best imitation of holiness. This great passage from the book of Daniel, Azariah, one of those who are in exile with the Israelites. He summarizes the state of he and his people, and which he compares to the sacrifice of tens of thousands of lambs. He is condemned to death by fire, a sign of the consequences for sin. For those who pursue holiness, that fire is a purifying fire. For others who will not pursue that path, it is a torture. But Azariah stands still in the fire. What a beautiful image. He is focused in a kind of prayerful trance. He is passive, a submissive but powerful posture. not writhing in pain as we might expect in the middle of fire. He tells God what it is like for the people to have a humbled and contrite spirit. Bound hand and foot by the order of the king of Babylon, they are thrown into a furnace so hot, 7 times hotter than normal, it tells us. There's that number 7 again. That it kills the soldiers who threw them in. Their situation is entirely and absolutely beyond their own fixing. You know, in the movies, something always happens to save the heroes. But here there is nothing except the mercy of God, and so it is with the church. From that place, Azariah admits that he is in the fire, an image of hell, because of the sins of the whole people. We have been brought low, he says, because of our sins. We have lost everything, prophets, leaders. We can't even properly plea for mercy because we have no place to make an offering. All we have, he says, is a contrite heart and a humbled spirit. Despite what we have done that we may be accepted, all he has is trust in God. And I think today it is the same for us. Jesus is preparing us to feel the weight of our own situation as sinners and more deeply appreciate God's infinite mercy, not only to receive it, but to offer it in turn to others. Jesus calls his disciples to a very high standard of mercy, does he not? We cannot speak words of forgiveness while harboring resentment. Admittedly, this is not always easy. In fact, again, it's probably impossible most of the times. Unless we understand that infinity between God and us, unless we realize how far God bends down to us to bless us with his life, to become one of us, his created beings, to die for our sins against God and one another, unless we realize and accept this, forgiving even once will be impossible. If we have the choice, and without grace, we will be grabbing the throats of those who owe us or have offended us or wanting to. Again, this Lent, we are reminded that we have to stand still. This Lent, we need to appreciate that God's mercy to us is without limit. The Catechism phrases this very well. There is no offense, however serious, that the church cannot forgive. There is no one, however wicked and guilty, who may not confidently hope for forgiveness, provided his repentance is honest. Christ, who died for all people, desires that in his church, the gates of forgiveness should always be open to anyone who turns away from sin. That's the passage from the Catechism. And so, brothers and sisters, again, by this we can know that standing in the fire, 7 times 70, even 7 times 7 or 7 times 70 becomes possible. Not only that becomes possible, but our path to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of mercy.